News Radio 1350 KMAN.
And welcome to News Radio KMAN. This is In Focus. Brady Bowman in for Kathy Dawes, 907 on a Tuesday morning here with Riley County, now chairman of the commission, Ron Wells. Ron, welcome.
Thank you, Brady. Glad to be here again. Ill-prepared as usual, but I do have some statistics here on Raleigh County.
All right. And
of course, leading off the game last night, I'm going to be just a little bit loggy this morning. I stayed up late.
Oh, I did too. I was actually thinking of asking if you stayed up and watched that or not.
Oh, absolutely. I just couldn't believe it. An underdog like that, it was right down to the 1 second. I mean, I couldn't fall asleep.
No. No, and the way it started, it started with Alabama with a 14-0 lead. You're thinking, here we go again, another snooze fest of a football game that we've seen all weekend leading up to this point. But
I was getting ready to lay back and do a little reading and then hit the sack. And for some reason, something just kind of nagging told me just to keep watching, and I did. I'm glad I did. I've never seen so much occur in one quarter.
It was a lot like – it reminded me a lot of the – Texas-USC game with Vince Young a few years back. Even Vince Young had that kind of sideline sort of scamper for a touchdown. Watson was close, but good stuff. That was a good way to end the college football season.
And I've never seen 1 second drug out so long in my life.
Oh, my God.
I know. The longest second on record.
And the whole time, I didn't understand what the whole deal was because I knew Clemson recovered, so it was always a moot point anyway because they were just going to kneel.
But it had to be done by the rules.
Got to do it. Well, a lot of things to talk about as we're finally into 2017. And finally, you know, this is, I think, the first full work week for a lot of people. I know it has been for me. So I've been excited about that, just kind of getting in and finally getting back to normal, I guess, with all the holiday trips and family. Well, it's so hard to get in the groove. Now we're kind of getting in the groove.
It is. Yesterday, what helped me get started anyway was – being the first meeting and being sworn in and then receiving a new county commissioner and interesting to see how the work day was going to go. Went very well. We got quite a bit accomplished, and one of the main things I want to talk about too was the county's radio system. It's, of course, made headlines in the paper. A lot of people don't understand what's going on behind that. It's basically for the safety of the citizens, and I know it's going to be a lot of money. It's been held off for quite a while because we actually don't know what the federal government's going to do. We don't know how often they're going to change the airways, and they've kept changing them, reducing them, and cutting them in half each time, which causes a lot of problems. What people need to remember is if you're the one out there, even in town, involved in an accident, you're trapped, burning home, whatever, you want communication between those emergency workers.
And I've seen a couple estimates on the cost for this. I mean, not going to be cheap. This is going to be a big expenditure for the county.
Absolutely. It involves millions of dollars. And, of course, there's a limited number of manufacturers, and they control, the government allows them to manufacture the radios to these certain frequencies. And so they're actually in control.
Did you remember that figure? I remember seeing it. I didn't put it in front of me. I want to say you had a couple bids ranging from anywhere from like $6 million to $12 million, something like that.
Average right around $10 million. And there's some programs where we can finance that, I think through one radio company, actually, possibly one manufacturer. But there's been so much discussed in so many different plans, I don't keep track of all of them. But at any rate, it's going to have to be spread out over quite a number of years. That's too much money to budget for in a short amount of time. So, but it is going to be an additional cost, and with the tax lid coming on, it's going to take some creative financing.
Now, would this possibly be exempt with the tax lid, since this is for emergency services and police?
I would assume that this would fall underneath the exemption. I know new buildings, new structures. There's quite a number of exemptions on the tax lid. So, for the safety and health of the people, and it would also involve RCPD and things. So, I would assume that this would come under the exemption.
Brady Bowman on In Focus with Riley County Chairman of the Commission, Ron Wells. Any questions? Give us a call 75-537-1350. And talking about this radio system, this isn't a request from our emergency folks. This isn't a request that came up. This isn't out of left field. I think they've been talking about this for quite a while.
Oh, absolutely. It's been ongoing since, probably for more than 10 years. And in the past, people didn't actually know what to do because we didn't know which frequency was going to be the one that was going to be I would consider permanent, semi-permanent. We didn't want to spend a few million on a system that would be outdated, say, in 4 or 5 years. And so as the federal government determines the frequencies that are going to work, then that's what we're going to have to work with. So I don't get electronically challenged. Well, I don't get involved in the details like that, but I count on Pat Collins and and our professionals to tell me which ones systems are going to be the best ones and everything. So we're narrowing it down to where there's going to have to be a decision made here pretty soon.
And definitely a need, according to a lot of folks with RCPD. I know they talk about, and you mentioned it a second ago, about communication being dropped in buildings. I think there was one case that they said, maybe it was during a commission meeting a while back, where they talked about how they were in a building, there was a situation in the building, and they lost communication for a second. And when you're talking about some of the situations EMS and police folks get into, that's not what you want. You want good communication.
Absolutely. That's what happened. And of course, they always have a fallback on a cell phone, but if a emergency person, his hands are full and he's busy, you don't have time to pick up a cell phone and be calling somebody and then hope they pick up. So this is going to be very important. It's for the health and safety of the citizens, and it's going to be a necessity. So our hands are tied. The best we can do is to find the best system for the best price and the best financing option.
And what's kind of the timetable we're looking at on that as far as this year is concerned?
The sooner the better, but I'm going to have to follow Pat Collins' lead on that.
Or I guess where are we at right now? Because I know you have you received any bids on this yet? Or are we even at that phase?
Just proposals.
Okay.
Proposals on
okay.
the system. And of course, we have to work with RCPD, EMS. So there's quite a number of agencies involved. And so they have to have a system that's going to work with all of them. There's a possibility of, we've talked about a statewide system. So there's been so much discussion, I don't have any one particular answer on that, Brady.
And, let's kind of switch gears slightly. It's kind of related, talking about improving sort of an existing infrastructure in a way. I know yesterday during the county commission meeting, Public Works Director Leon Hobson showed a lot of pictures of some area bridges in the county and talked about the shape of some of those, and some of those aren't in the greatest shape, or at least they're getting towards the end of their life.
That's true. The one they talked about on Anderson Avenue, of course, was built in 1928. It served its life function, but it's at rated about 40%. My quip was yesterday, I don't want to go over a bridge that's down to its last 10%, because you still can't see the inside of the structure. All they can do with the bridge inspections is inspect the outside and use the engineer's guess at what's going on inside the bridge. We certainly don't want a catastrophic failure, so we need to keep up on them. And that's what that half-cent sales tax is for. Rodney County's done a super job on adding additional projects. And I want to emphasize additional projects, because our budget for maintenance and upkeep and repair of roads is ongoing. We don't change that. We don't use that money for any other reason. So that's ongoing. What the sales tax passed for was to do additional projects and to try to keep more current on these bridges, because there's 19,500 bridges in Kansas. And we're replacing them about 160 per year across the state. And the minimum is 270 to maintain them. So in about 10 years, about half our bridges will be closed. And in a rural area, if a farmer has farmland on both sides of a creek or a stream or something, that's going to be very expensive for him to have to take many mile detours. So it's going to be problematic, but Raleigh County is on top of it, thankfully, for our taxpayers. And the sales tax money, we're good through 2022, and actually show that we'll have money left at the end that will continue to finish out whatever remaining projects there may be.
And I thought what you just mentioned there as far as that example of a farmer going having to go across the creek on the other side of the field, if that's not a great example of the partnership between government and private business, I don't really know what is, because we're kind of in this era now, if you will, or a lot of sentiment is just any way you can talk bad about government service, policy, whatever, go at it. But when you need that bridge, when you need that county taxpayer-funded bridge to get to the other side to your field, I think you're going to be kind of okay with that and hope that bridge is working.
Absolutely. It's always, I want you to cut taxes, but I want you to go ahead and keep my road up, pave it, put new bridges in.
So, can't have it all.
And we do a good job, a good balance, for the amount of our county that's tax exempt, and only having six counties in Kansas with a lower mill levy, we do a very good job. And it's tough because, like I say, the tax exempt property hurts, and the delinquent taxes. We have at least 4 years before we can collect that on an auction. When we have an auction, we don't get all that money. We only get a small percent of it because of the expenses of collecting it. A property may owe $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 in taxes, and a bidder may only pay $10 for the property. And, of course, that's all we get, and that has to be divided amongst the other taxing entities too.
And the big push of that, really, the big benefit of that sale is not the money you get off the sale, but just to get that land back on the tax rolls is the most important thing, right?
It is. That we hope that the new owner will immediately start paying taxes then.
All right. Let's go ahead and go to our first break of the hour. First break? Yep. There we go. Listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN. More with Commissioner Ron Wells after the break.